Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to 4 Idiots and a Microphone. My name is Ben, and here alongside me we have Simon.
I have Chalky.
He has Chalky. And we have Leo.
I have a sandwich.
Bro, that was so formal. Why are we, like, introducing ourselves like we're a real podcast out here?
Are we not a real podcast?
Nah. You know, that's a good question.
Are we a real podcast?
Is anything really real? Or is it all just a simulation?
My internet is shitting itself.
Bruh.
I didn't hear any of that shit. My internet just
shattered. Are you serious?
Itself. Yeah. I just went from like 3 green bars to 1 red bar, but now it's okay.
Now we're good. All right, cool.
Yeah, we're good now. I just missed the last like 10 seconds of conversation, but it is okay. Anyways, since I didn't hear whatever argument, since I didn't hear any of the argument you had for why we're not a real podcast, we are a real podcast and we're very formal and we're back for another episode, but this time without Bjork because
I ain't Chalky.
Yeah, that's why. We're gonna leave it at that. That's why he ain't here.
Yeah.
Okay, unless you have anything else to go off of first, I kind of just wanted to start delving into the new games that I got, because for the Steam holiday sale, I've got some shit, and I thought it'd be kind of fun just to talk about, like, why I enjoy it, because a lot of, with quarantine right now, everything's getting kind of bland, so it's just kind of nice to talk about escapist things.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So the two ones that I've, like, fully started right now are Hades and Celeste, and I'd fully played through Celeste, currently, and then Hades is a roguelike, so you don't really beat it for like a long time, but I've been playing it for a bit and they're both really fun.
What is the definition of a roguelike? Like, name other roguelike games.
Enter the Gungeon and I can't remember.
Dead Cells.
Binding of Isaac. Yeah, Dead Cells, that's what I was thinking of.
So it's
Binding
like
of Isaac 2. So it's you go through like a never, it's like usually an ever changing maze of different rooms, and you try and get as far as you can, and the longer that you play, you get like boosts and things that will help you along the way to get farther. And a lot of them do have an end. I don't think that that's part of the criteria, but it's just like you're not supposed to get through it in one run. The point is to keep doing runs of this maze and get as far as you can. Mm-hmm. And then you restart the whole thing when you die. But you can get different power-ups that like make it easier. So like in Hades right now, one of the power-ups that I have... Actually, I'm going to give a little bit more backstory first before I start throwing out things. So this is all, it's all like Greek mythology based. So you play as the son of Hades. His name, I cannot remember his name, but it starts with Zag and people just call him Zag. So I'm going with Zag. You play as Zag and you're trying to escape.
Zagreus?
Yeah, it's Zagreus. You play as Zagreus.
Dude, that's funny because Zagreus is a magic card.
He is also the son of Hades. So you're Hades' kid and you're trying to escape the underworld and he's like, get back here into my house. And then, so he doesn't want you to leave. So he sets up the whole roguelike game is you're trying to leave, but all of Hades' minions are trying to like kill you. And since you're basically a god and you're undead, even if your dad sends out his minions to kill you, you don't die. You just end up back at your house with your dad.
What's the like camera style? Is it like sideways like Dead Cells or is it?
No, it's kind of like a 2D Zelda game. Like where it's kind of top down, but I don't know how to describe it.
It's kind of like an eagle eye, only diagonal.
It's a diagonal.
Oh, I know. I can picture what you're saying. It's like the camera is slightly to the right, but also behind the character, but up in the air.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That was perfect.
That was perfect, and it's very forced perspective. I really like the art style. It's very cel shaded and cool, and you can get with it. They call them boons from the different Olympians. And it randomly selects them each time. So, like, you'll get different things that all have to do with a certain god and their powers.
Hmm, that's cool. How big is the pantheon of gods? Is it just, like, the major gods, or do they have, like...
It's just the major ones.
Hmm, yeah.
So it's probably, like, 9-ish? I don't know. Like, the
main... If
like
you guys
the main,
were a
like,
god... Sorry, not to interrupt this Hades discussion, but if you guys were a god from any pantheon, can be any pantheon you want, from any, like, religious pantheon... What god would you do? You think you not you want to be? Do you think you identify the most with?
Do you think that we're also Norse or Greek or any mythology buffs like you were as a child, Simon?
I don't know. You don't have to be a buff.
Do you think I know what a pantheon means?
A pantheon is a group of gods that's organized under a certain religion, followed by a cultural group of people.
I'd probably be one of the Greek ones because a lot of them are more like. Specific and shit. I know that Norse are too, but I know less about Norse and I know basically nothing about Greek, but I don't know.
I would probably be Hestia. Greek goddess of the hearth. She just chills and like lays in front of a fire and probably smokes weed.
I like the goddess of the hunt. She's cool.
Artemis?
Yeah, she has nice thighs in Hades.
Okay, that's good reasoning.
I was about to say, bro, I'd be like Poseidon.
Poseidon would be sick. He's in there.
Leo is a water boy. It's true.
Yeah, Leo loved the water. Water cool. I'd be Aquaman. Son of Poseidon.
Son of Poseidon.
Imagine if there's a Greek god. Imagine if there's a Greek god and his name is just Aquaman. Like, that's such a stupid name. It just sounds so much worse than all the other ones. Like, Poseidon, Aqua, Man.
There's some funny names. Like, there's an Egyptian god called Ptah, which is not the god of spitting, unfortunately. But...
Ptah.
I believe he's a farmer god of some type.
That's cute. I'm gonna just like finish up the Hades shit because I don't know if we want to keep going on gods first.
Yes, finish the Hades shit because I'm the only one who knows shit about this stuff.
Yeah, so I thought you might enjoy it. It's so like, depending on which run you have, it'll like you'll get different boons. So you'll get like, if it's from Goddess of the Hunt, you'll get so you can get like a super move that uses arrows, because she hunts with bow arrow, or you can get your attacks can get criticals through it, so it'll be like your normal attacks will do like 10% more damage, and you'll also have a 30% chance of critting and doubling your damage because it's and then like Poseidon does water stuff, so it's he has shit like your dash will propel your enemies away from you with a splash of water, so you have a dash move, and like that's just base game, you automatically have a dash move, but as you do it, when you land at the end of it, it creates a splash of water and sends enemies away. One of my favorites. Who's the god of wine? I forget which one he is.
Dionysus.
Yeah, Dionysus is in there.
I didn't know this.
Simon was a Greek mythology buff and Norse buff.
Dionysus in Greek mythology or Bacchus in Roman mythology? And they have much different things. Bacchus has a staff with a pine cone end on of it that turns people into squirrels.
That doesn't have anything to do with wine.
No, because Bacchus is less the god of wine. He wears a straw hat and stands in fields a lot.
That's cool.
He's just a farmer. The god of farming.
No, he's not, but similar. Oh,
one of my favorite abilities is by Dionysus. Simon. And his normal thing is, so you have what's called a cast, where it's like, it's a projectile that you get no matter what weapon you have, and you throw it, and it hits an enemy, and it does a bunch of damage, but then it stays on that enemy, so you can't throw it again until you kill it. And Dionysus's one changes it so that it makes an AoE effect, so you lob it somewhere, and it lands on the ground and creates a cloud that kills people.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I like all of them fit with who the gods are, and even as someone who knows jack shit about Greek mythology, I still think that it's really interesting to kind of see.
Is there Maenads? Is there a staff that summons Maenads?
What's a Maenad?
A Maenad is a female follower of Dionysus, and it comes from the Greek word which means mad or demented. And supposedly they just chased Dionysus's people who like have wronged him and fucking ripped them apart. It's pretty weird.
I haven't chosen one of his boons that might be able to do that. They're okay, that might be a super, I don't know. But as far as I'm aware, I've only gotten his boons like twice in my runs so far, because I've only been playing it for like 2 days. But yeah. I haven't gotten one that does, what are they called? My needs?
Maenads.
My needs.
That sounds like the guys from SpongeBob who eat away his house.
Yo, have you guys seen Mr. Krabs overdoses on ketamine?
On ketamine, the game? game? Yeah. That's a great video game. Simon, I think you'd enjoy Hades if you want it. It's only like $20, so it's not that expensive.
Is it on PC or just Switch?
Yeah, it's on PC.
Interesting. I actually do enjoy those kind of games. Like, I don't know if I talked about this. I don't know. I couldn't because it's been a while. I just recently finished my second playthrough of Mr. Shifty, which is an indie game that was created by a very small studio and is very, like, not well-known. And I only know about it because one of the YouTubers that I used to watch has played through it, did a playthrough of it. And it's basically this really simple concept for a game where you're this cool-looking dude who's wearing, like, a hat and he's got a cloak and his name is Mr. Shifty. And the reason why his name is Mr. Shifty is because he has this thing where he can shift. Like, he can basically, it's a short-range teleport. And he just punches and his punches, like, do damage to things. So basically, you are making your way up this tower that's filled with different types of enemies. And some of them will have guns, and some of them will have staffs, and some of them are just really big. And usually, like, how big they are will determine on how many punches it takes to kill them. Like, the really big dudes take 3 punches. The normal guys only take two. The really interesting thing about this game is the shifting, because you have five shifts in your bar worth before it recharges, and it recharges pretty fast. And basically, you're just fucking like teleporting around, punching guys, teleporting behind things, teleporting past bullets, and like you have this thing that's similar to like bullet time in what's bullet time from Smash? Or
that's from Bayonetta.
Bayonetta, yeah, Bayonetta. So you have this thing similar.
A lot of characters have bullet time. It just slows times. Time slow.
Yeah, if you punch enough enemies, you'll get like a bullet time type thing where the time will slow down, and you like can teleport. You get infinite shifts during bullet time, and you just get to like boost around, shifting behind people, and like the game gets really difficult and it becomes very like quick reactions, and like everything one shots you. You have no health bar, so everything, you die instantly to everything. So you have to be super careful about what you're doing, and the levels are it's completely top down. You just see the top of his head and like where he's running and shit. The art style is really cool, and it's just I finished the game for the second time, the second playthrough. It's a very small game. I think I only have total about Mr. Shifty. How many hours? I think I have total 14 hours in the entire game, the two playthroughs. Wow. It's a very small game. It's a very, very short, very small game, but it's a lot of fun. It's a good chill down game to play like really late at night.
I've actually played it because one of my friends. You all know Liam. Wait, no, Leo, you don't know him, but Simon, you know him. Mm-hmm. He has it. I played it and it was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, you feel epic because you're like teleporting around behind people, and like it's super, like, the controls are really responsive and snappy. It's actually designed to be played on a controller, but it works just as well on PC.
Yeah, it's very fun. I played it on the Switch. Yeah. The Hades dash is basically exactly the same as like how a shift works in Shifty. Mm-hmm. You just kind of go.
Cool. Yeah. I'm going to check out Hades. That sounds cool. And you wanted to also talk about Celeste, which you played a long time ago, right?
Yeah, we played up at the cabin. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was a good time.
I enjoyed that game. That was fun.
The
blue wall.
Oh, yeah, the blue walls.
So back when, okay, so even before the cabin, so the cabin was like June-ish last year. And then before that, a few years ago, I played it at my friend Harrison's party with a bunch of other people. One of his other friends was like, you got to try this game. And I was like, this looks amazing. I want to try it. Because I'd been told from a few other people at that point.
It was, like, looked amazing to you at the moment. Because when I first saw Celeste, I was like, this looks interesting, but not super cool.
I don't know. I was into the style just because of how polished it looked. Because, like, pixel art stuff doesn't usually draw me in, but just it looks so much more polished and clean, and it really, really looks polished and clean. But I played it once, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I'll probably get that sometime. And then I didn't. And then I played it at the cabin, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I'll probably get that. And then I didn't. I have a lot of, like, small indie games. Like, well, not small indie games, but kind of, like, cheap indie games, like Shovel Knight and Hollow Knight. Or the other two that I've been, where I've been like, this looks awesome, and then I play, and then I'm like, this is awesome, I should buy it, and then I never have. But Celeste, I was finally like, you know what, I'm going to get a bunch of games, because I never get any games for myself, and my library is kind of getting thin, so I got a bunch of different games. And among them was Celeste, and I really, really enjoy it. And I think it's something that, it's really difficult platforming, so if
it's like really, really difficult. I played it for like 15 minutes and I couldn't make it past a single level. That game is brutal. It's really, really hard.
I mean, okay, it doesn't start super hard, but
I was like halfway through when I played. Yeah.
Dude,
I was in the hotel when we were at the cabin, and I was having
the hotel is so hard. That's like one of the harder stages, even though it's early on. So the whole plot of the game is really simple. You're this character called Madeline, and you're just kind of like, I guess, in a mental rut, and you want to climb Celeste Mountain just to kind of, as a show of pride, as like, look, I can do something, I'm not useless and worthless, and my life is going to amount to something because look at all this shit that I can do. That's kind of the plot, is you're just like, you want to prove to yourself that you can climb Celeste Mountain to feel good about yourself. So you start going, and as you go through, this isn't really spoilers because it's in like all of the trailers that it shows off.
So this isn't a game about story, I believe.
It gets to be pretty, not like the story isn't super important, but it's, I'm not going to spoil anything past the second level, which
there's a very thought out story.
You start meeting with this other character called Battleline. I don't know if that's her actual name or if that's just what people call her online, but she represents like a lot of the bad parts of you, and you have to kind of grapple with her and figure out how to like calm your mental state and get up to the mountain and get through all this stuff. And it's really cool because a lot of it a lot of the mechanics in it, just like how in Hades a lot of the mechanics reflect on the gods, this time it reflects on different pieces of your mental state. And like in every level you can kind of see how it reflects on a different part of your brain and shit. Like, one of the mechanics is literally a coping mechanism that Madeline uses.
Mm.
And they transform it into, like, a full-fledged mechanic that you use to traverse the levels. And it's really cool. And, yeah, it's... I really enjoy it, and I think that it's something that... It's a pretty short game, but there's a lot of replay value because it's a lot about speedrunning. So you can go back through all of the levels and grind down your times to a science and try and improve how fast you are. And then there's a bunch of strawberries, which is the collectible, which is, like, very... Not bland, but just, like, generic kind of platformer collectible. But you go through and you collect all the strawberries and you grind down your times. And you, yeah, you just kind of keep... There's a lot of things to find. It's kind of like Mario Odyssey, where the game only really takes, like, 6 to 7 hours to complete on a first playthrough. And that's, like, if you're not going super fast. But going back through it, I have nearly 200 hours in that game.
In
Mario Odyssey.
Oh, Mario Odyssey. I was gonna say.
I have not owned Celeste for 200 hours. Yeah. I don't even know if I've owned it for 100. But Odyssey I've had since mid-2017, and I have like 200 hours in it, just because it's very short, but there's a lot of replay value, and Celeste is the same way. Mm-hmm. It's basically the 2D version of Odyssey.
Odyssey I've played through twice, because I don't own it, so I played it through twice with Ben's copy, and that game is a masterpiece.
It's so good. It makes
I need to play it. I love the 3D Mario games. I agree very wholeheartedly, and I was about to say, I know I've told you guys about Hollow Knight all the fucking time, but the replay value for that game is so cool, because after you finish the game, a special mode comes out called Steel Soul, where when you die, you die for good.
That's terrible.
It's a hardcore version.
That sounds horrid.
I generally don't enjoy that with gaming.
Yeah, it's not my thing either, but I can see why it's cool.
There's another version called Godfinder, which is the boss rush version. There is an actual entire DLC called Godmaster, which is where you actually go and defeat every single boss in the game. That one fucking sucked. I hated that. Oh my god.
Sun guy that I remember Hazel being stuck on for like a week and a half, just constantly complaining to me about it.
Probably Radiance.
So, yeah, Radiant. Yeah, Sun Radiant.
I got stuck on that for a while. The one that sucked me, sucked me off the most was Nightmare King Grimm. That one.
Oh, yes, I remember. Yeah.
I read a thread about it where the normal fight, King Grimm, it's like a waltz where there's people watching and their music to it, he actually attacks in time with the music a lot of the time. And he gives you a minute to attack him, so it's like a waltz back and forth. But with Nightmare King Grimm, he just turns up to 100, starts furiously breakdancing, where break is your back.
Jesus.
He deals damage. He goes
is
like,
that
three times
fully
faster.
Just a metaphor, or does he actually breakdance?
No, it's fully a metaphor. It's like the comparison to the actual like normal King Grimm fight being a like a waltz, and the Nightmare King Grimm is just like
I get what you mean. I was just hoping that you said that as the metaphor, but he also actually breakdanced.
Me too. That would be fun.
I should revisit that game, I think, because I played for about 20 minutes and thoroughly didn't enjoy it because I didn't get to fight a single enemy, and I just spent 20 minutes getting lost in a labyrinth of corridors and being like, hey, this is just a platforming game. Like, I never get to fight anything or use any abilities, and I'm just like dashing around being like, there's no map, there is a map, but it's like, I don't understand it. I don't know where anything is. I don't know where I'm going. This is really just not enjoyable.
So the point of it is to get lost for a little bit. But then you can buy a certain charm at the map store that literally the charm whispers you to you where you are. So you look
it's
at your
an
map
Ubisoft. You get an Ubisoft marker.
you literally check your map and there will be a little ahead of you and you can know where you're
it's
going.
An Ubisoft marker.
So for me, for my first playthrough, I would run that all the time. And then I finally started to get used to and memorizing the entire map. So I eventually took it off because it's a waste of a charm notch. Because you only have so many charm notches.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Yeah. Simon, do you know what a Metroidvania is?
No. I know, like, Metroid Prime, but I don't know what a Metroidvania is, no. I've heard the term before, though.
Can I take it, then?
Yeah, sure. I you can explain it.
So, Castlevania and, Metroid. That's the comparison. So it's a Metroidvania. Basically, let's say that you are running around in a game that's like a labyrinth. There is a ledge that is too high to jump up onto. You're like, well, okay, whatever. You keep going. You kill a monster. You find a pair of boots that let you jump higher. You can track back to that place and you can reach up there.
Okay.
That's the point of Metroidvania, is you will find things that you can't reach yet. And
so
then eventually...
So gated progression.
Exactly. That's perfect. You eventually pick up things that can get you to certain places, and then you'll get more and more things, accumulate more power, and eventually become an unstoppable force.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I've played a game like that, but I don't know what it is. I mean, Mario Odyssey is that in a very small way. Like, you need a certain amount of moons to progress to the next world and things like that.
Yeah, I suppose.
I think it's not in the way that you need a certain number of something. It's the way that it's a fully different power. Like, it's not...
Yeah,
it's not like I have 5 coins, but I need 10 coins to buy this thing. It's like, I cannot open this door until I get this item that is like a missile launcher that blows open this door.
Why do you bring up Metroidvanias, Ben?
Because that's what Hollow Knight is.
Oh, that's what Hollow Knight is. Okay, I always just pictured Hollow Knight being like, not... Almost like a just like a platforming game with combat being a secondary thing, but that's also because I've only played like 15 minutes of it.
That's what Castlevania games are, so that's why it's Metroidvania.
Yeah, but same with Metroid games. At the same time, the combat in Hollow Knight is so good. Over 40 bosses, and the Godmaster DLC, which is completely free. All the DLCs are free, by the way, which kind of slaps.
Interesting. I like that. Cool.
So the Godmaster DLC, basically you like, I'm not going to get into the Destiny lore and all that, but basically you, sorry, wrong one, Hollow Knight, my game.
My game stopped working.
You literally, there's these pantheons, and basically you have to encounter each boss to be able to unlock it. So each pantheon has 10 bosses. Take out all the bosses in that pantheon. Congratulations, you did that pantheon. Well done. You do 4 pantheons, because there's 40 bosses, and then all of a sudden, this 5th pantheon pops up out of nowhere called the Pantheon of Hollownest, which is, Hollownest is the place that you are, is like the location that you are at. It's called Hollownest, which is every single boss in rapid succession. So you take out one, you do it, you take out the next one, take out the next one, and so on and so forth, until... You defeat all 40 bosses, including Radiance, which is a beefed up version called Absolute Radiance.
That's what, that was...
big
that
stun.
Shit had me in so much pain.
That was what Hazel was stuck on, was that. That was that fucking boss.
And, but the thing is, if you die, you have to restart back at the beginning of the Pantheon. So you have to do all 40 bosses all over again. It was so much pain. But the thing is, if you... luckily, for every time you encounter a boss, there's a little place in the place where you are for Godmaster called the Hall of Gods, which is where you can encounter. You can just practice against bosses, so that way you don't need to like actually go into that pantheon to practice it. You can practice it on your own, which is kind of nice. It's really good. It's awesome. And I gotta say, it's in my top 5 favorite games ever. Like,
damn.
I've played many games. Nothing has ever come close to it.
There's a question. What is your top five?
Wait, before we move on, I just want to hammer home the Metroidvania thing to Simon by saying just like the reason that you felt so confused and lost is because that's how it starts, because you start seeing all the hallways and all of the places that you can't get to, but then you get the items to be able to do that. So that's like the point is to be overwhelmed, and then you come back and you gain all of the things to make it easier and get through it. Just to like, I don't know if that helps make more sense.
It definitely, I think in the moment, I was sort of set in the mindset of like, I don't know if Hollow Knight has any parts that are not like dark and like just black walls. And I don't know if there's any like outside parts where it's pretty or anything.
No, there. It's all based like underground.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it isn't light anywhere. For example, the City of Tears, which is like Hollow Knight's like central hub. Fucking beautiful.
Okay, cool, man.
And it's like always raining there, but you're underground, so how is it raining? Well, of course, above it on the map, literally if you travel above it, it's called the Blue Lake, which is a giant pool. Like, they literally thought out why it's raining there, which is kind of rad.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, I think I just felt like this isn't a genre that I've ever played before, and it caught me off guard, I think.
Definitely. I agree. At first it kind of caught me off guard, but I did actually. I think I actually put away the game for like, I don't know, a couple days just to try and like be like, am I sure I want to do this? Because again, the game was only 15, not again, but the game is only $15, so it doesn't really feel like a waste of money, which is fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a little concerned on if I would, I was a little concerned that I would not touch it again. But I stuck with it, reached, what is it, the Fungal Waste with the Mantis Lords, where you literally fight Praying Mantis, like Praying Manti. and that battle is the fucking greatest boss fight of all time. Not even capping.
Damn.
It's like a, it's like a test of speed, a memorization, endurance. Like, that was where I died my first time running my Steel Soul run.
That's rough.
Like, yeah, and I was playing for a solid like 14, 15 hours. It's a big game too. I hope you know it's a solid. I pumped I think 61 hours into it for my first playthrough.
That's a lot for.
That's for me. But the thing is, there's different endings, so I'm not gonna keep going to the lore and stuff. But literally, there are three different endings that are actually substantial. Then one of them is the Godmaster ending, which is if you actually successfully do the Godmaster, the Pantheon of Hollow Nests, which is cool and all. It's just a big grind. But all three of the endings are pretty sweet, and it took me probably 40 hours for the first playthrough, and then after you finish, you can go back to. It's kind of like Zelda, where after you finish the game, you can spawn Breath of the Wild, where you can respawn.
You can't when you finish Breath of the Wild. Once you kill Ganon, that's it. Your save's over. Yeah. You can't come back into the world.
Yeah, you can.
What? No, you can't. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you can.
You can go back in the world after you kill Ganon? No. You kill the final boss. No, you can't. Yes. What?
Yeah.
It stays exactly the same.
Well, no. Yeah, but you go back to before you beat Ganon.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like you're going back to a world that's missing Ganon. You can just go back to the save before you beat Ganon.
Yes, that's what.
Yeah, sorry, that's what I meant. Yeah.
You made it sound like you just thought that you beat the game and then the save file locked and you could never re-enter.
Well, no. But I never went back into it again because I was like, "What's the point? I'm just gonna like it's just resetting my progress to before I begin. I don't really care about that." So,
I just like completing the rest of it and getting all the shit.
Yeah, valid. I'm interested to hear what your guys' top five favorite games are because that's an interesting question. Leo, you should go first. What's your top five favorite games?
Hold on, I gotta think. Let's pass it on to someone else real quick.
I can go.
I am the okay.
Unless you want to go, Ben.
I see how it is.
Do you want to go?
I've already been hurt enough. You can go.
Do you want to go, cunt?
Yeah, I'll go. mine are like the thing is, I have like certain game series that I can throw in there, but I don't have any specific games. Like I know that a Mario Kart, a Smash Bros, and one of the 3D Mario games, which are all very like kind of obvious choices, but those are the game series that I've grown up with and I've continued to play throughout the entirety of my life. Like I started with Galaxy and then went through the Wii U and played 3D World and then came back for Odyssey and then I went back and played through I've played through Sunshine twice now and I've finished 64 once, but like Galaxy and Galaxy 2 each I've probably completed at least 5 times, which is kind of like a weird thing to do just because they're definitely replayable, but they don't have like the Odyssey replay value, so I don't know if one of the Galaxy games or Odyssey is my favorite out of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then Smash kind of just has to go to Ultimate. There's like
I don't think that there is a Smash game that can measure up to Smash Ultimate. I really don't.
I think that. I mean, there's an argument to be had for Melee. I don't know. I don't think
there's diehard Melee fans, and there's also diehard Brawl fans. But I think like if you just look at the amount of support that Smash Ultimate has gotten in compared, because people play Smash that never played the franchise of Smash before. Like there are people who enjoy Smash who just like never played Brawl, never played 4, never played anything like that.
Well, there's something to be said about. I just watched a video by Relax Alex about why he said that Melee is Shigeru Miyamoto's magnum opus of a game, and I think that there's something to that because it's not.
Are you talking about Sakurai?
Sakurai, I'm sorry, my bad. But it didn't, because I also watched that directly after the Mario video, but it didn't have the most content or the most characters or the most support or the most players, but like the refined world and just the way that everything came together, and also a lot about the setting in which it was created kind of shows that it was like the magnum opus, and like that there, all of the games that came after were kind of trying to beat that. And
what does magnum opus mean?
Magnum opus is just like
best of the best.
Yeah. Which personally I think Ultimate is the best, but there's something to be said about, I don't know, objectively, but like a lot of other people would say Melee, but I think for me it's Ultimate. And then Mario Kart would either be Wii or 8.
I personally enjoy 8 better.
I think Wii is better, but there's a lot to be said about 8, and I have played 8 a lot more.
8 but is more user-friendly, I think.
It definitely
Wii is brutal.
Wii is brutal, and I've played it a lot, and I like that.
Yeah.
And, there was one... There was... Minecraft. Minecraft is one of... Obviously, Minecraft. I have... If I could check all of the hours that I have, it's probably over 2,000.
Jesus. Yeah, there's no way to check, but...
Well, I've played...
So your list would be Minecraft, Smash Ultimate...
Mario Kart, either Wii or 8, and then one of the 3D Mario games, and there was something else. Oh, Breath of the Wild.
So, that's 5, yeah. That's a pretty sick list, yeah.
It's all very, like, none of them are small games, or even just, like, it feels kind of weird because it's, like, Mario, Smash Bros., Zelda, Minecraft. Mm-hmm. As opposed to a lot of people, like, there's no, like...
Yeah, but Minecraft shaped gaming. Like...
Oh, yeah, no.
Minecraft is an insane game.
It has changed everything. And it feels weird because a lot of people put, like, a Pikmin game or even just, like, a Pokemon game or something that's not Mario, which is, like, the face of Nintendo and just such, like... I don't know. It seems... it feels weird to say that my favorite games are so just, like... Basic, I guess. Basic.
No, but that's the thing. It's subjectivity. It's what you enjoy the most, and
that's true.
Yeah,
that's what I've grown up with all my life, and that's what has like shaped me, not even just as like a video gamer, but just as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are definitely.
I think mine is probably gonna surprise no one. I'll start with Minecraft, because Minecraft definitely has to go on my list, because that was the first game that I ever really played that was like truly, I was like this. I remember the first thing, I might have talked about this before on the podcast, but I remember the first thing that I ever did was I loaded in into a super flat world. I launched it on my shitty old laptop, my Toshiba fucking like garbage old laptop. And I loaded up Minecraft, downloaded it. It was like a whole $26, which is a weird number, by the way. I was at 26.
It was like 26.50 or something.
Yeah, it was a weird number. And I was always like, this is so expensive for a video game. It was like the most money I've spent, because I was like, what, like 12 or something?
I was really I was in third grade, and I was like, my God, spending $30 on a video game.
So much money, And I download it, and I launch it up, and I just, you see the original screen, and then I go, single player, make a new world, and I see... like normal, and then there's like super flat, and I'm like, fuck, let's just fucking do super flat. So I make a super flat world, and I load in, and I go into my inventory, and the first block that I see is a cobblestone block. And so I'm there, and I'm learning the controls, and I'm running around, and then I just build this cobblestone box, and I put a door in it. And I was like, this is so sick, this is so cool, because it was like my first experience of ever being like able to create in a 3D environment in a game, like to really like, execute a vision.
Yeah, that was, I know, exactly,
so crazy to me. Yeah,
did you also build massive TNT spires?
I would hollow out holes in the earth, and I would fill them with these plugs that would like run from the earth to
butt plugs
into the ground, and I would light the top of it, and I would watch it like burrow this massive hole in the ground and just leave this chasm, and it would just be like, oh, raw child destruction energy.
Raw chicken.
Yeah, so definitely Minecraft. I used to build TNT cannons and shit. I would like copy build tutorials and things.
Those were so fun.
Yeah, I was so sick. Definitely Minecraft gotta be one. I think I gotta put Assassin's Creed Origins on this list, because I could preach about this game for literally like hours and hours, because it is somehow for me the perfect game that I can get invested in the story, and I love the story, but I also love the gameplay. I love the combat. I love the progression. I love the way it looks. I love the art style, everything that's done well. I love the like combat system and the way that things progress and the different weapons. It's a step above every other open world game that I think I've ever played. Wow. And it's interesting because I only have 54 hours in this game in total, and yet it still left a huge impression on me. Like,
that's what a good game does.
Yeah, and I have twice the hours I have in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and I would still say, even having played through both games fully, I enjoy Assassin's Creed Origins like four times as much, even though I've played through Odyssey way more extensively. It's also interesting to say because Odyssey's full playthrough time for me was about 100 hours, and Origins' full playthrough time was about 54. And I usually play through games pretty thoroughly. I don't 100% them or anything, but I usually get most of the story. I do the entire main story and a lot, and I tie up most loose ends and side stories. So I only recently actually just finished Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and I gotta say, genuinely did enjoy the game. I did enjoy it.
Just making sure, do we also mention the fact that we're only three idiots right now?
We did, yeah.
I mean, it's clear. Like, at this point, it's clear there's no Alec, but yeah. So yeah, definitely
mine. Something, but I don't remember what I said.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. I think I interrupted you by screaming, "I'm eating Chalky" or something along
those lines. Yeah, and then I was like, and that is the only reason that we will go.
So yeah, Minecraft Assassin's Creed Origins, I gotta put Warframe on here, purely because it's a game that I sunk the most hours into out of any game I have. I should make it clear, I'm not really a gamer. Like, I really don't. My highest hours is Warframe, and it's 657.
That's a lot.
But that's...
Apart from Minecraft, I have nothing near that much.
Yeah, but that's my highest. I mean, out of everything. Maybe not Minecraft, because I did play it a fuck ton when I was younger. But total Warframe hours is 657. Just because I have been playing this game for several years. And it's just so massive, deep, huge. It's like, there's so much to do. There's so much. Like, there are up to 30, 35 MRs in the game. And I'm MR12. And I have 657 hours in it. Like, damn. That's mastery rank. It's like level, player level. It is an insanely massive game. It's grindy as hell. You can put so much of your time into it, but there's just something about it. I always take big breaks and then come back to it and then take another break and come back to it. And there's always something that keeps pulling me back to it. I don't know why. The world is really cool and the story building is really interesting.
That's what Minecraft does to me, but I think it's for a little bit of a different reason because it's always like, not always, but usually it's for a different reason. Like, it started out just being, this is so cool and I love it, and then I probably put 100 hours or 200 hours into it just like exploring and like having that kind of casual base level gameplay, and then it became like playing with friends and starting worlds with them, and then after that it became going online and going onto servers when those are blowing up, and then after that died down. I probably like, I'd still play it from time to time with different friends in different ways, and then we actually started playing it again like a few months before it blew up, like me and Alec and then a few other friends. And then it became like about optimizing the game and like making redstone machines and trying to make a perfect world. And then there's just so much depth to it that I think that's why I have so many hours in it. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just realized I kind of like stole your talking point.
No, you're good. That was cool. And it's interesting enough that like, playtime for a game really doesn't dictate how much I like it, because like I said, I have 54 hours in Assassin's Creed Origins and I have 338 hours in Destiny 2, and yet I would not put Destiny 2 on my top 5 games.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, because I just enjoy other things. To finish my list out, the last two is going to be one that you guys know nothing about and really have never played, and that's For Honor. Have you played it, Leo?
I've seen it. I never really played it. Again, I had an Xbox forever. I pretty much played just like Star Wars games and Destiny. I played space games.
Yeah. I think the reason why this is on my top five is because this is the best. I'm sorry, but this is the best fighting system in the world. Like the fighting in the fighting system in this game is. It's so incredibly complicated, yet so incredibly simple, and there's so many different characters with diverse options, and you feel like it is, you can get super invested into one playstyle or one type of character, and it's competitive in the best way possible, but it's not a shooter. It's about strategy, and it's about reaction speed, and I love this game, but I also hate it in so many ways. It's extremely triggering sometimes, and it's in a competitive game, and it can be very salty, but it is... it's the fighting system is beautiful. It is there, like there's nothing that I can really compare to it besides maybe the fifth game on my list, which is also Super Smash Ultimate, I think, because
yeah,
this is just the best game to play with friends. Like it's just like maybe Mario Kart, but like this is just the best game to just chill and play, and like you can be competitive with it, you can play and be chill. The fighting system is amazing. Think about that. Like it's a 2D fighting game with this deep of a fighting system that's like so incredibly diversified to so many different characters, and yet it still holds together as being one of the best and like most loved games. It got nominated for Game of the Year in 2019.
Do you remember when you said that Brawlhalla had better systems and balancing
than Ultimate? I had a period where I had this internalized hatred of Smash because I was like, I don't want to be a Smash normie, and then I was just like, nah, this is
time to be a Smash normie.
Yeah,
you just had this like inherent hatred for it, and you were like, oh my god, Brawlhalla is so much better, it's so much better balanced and created. Yeah, and we were all like, no, it's balanced horribly and none of the characters feel different. Brawlhalla, by the way, is a free to play,
like it's actually not a bad game. I think it's actually a pretty okay game. It's not great.
I have zero experience with this, so I cannot say one.
I have like 3 hours.
You have like 3 hours overall, and you were defending it like it was God's greatest creation.
Yeah, and when I was defending it, I probably already had like 100+ hours in Smash.
Yeah, that was the funniest part.
Yeah, and I played Smash obsessively too, and I was like, I fucking hate this game. I just did not like it.
I think a good progression of this conversation is like, so we've kind of touched on this a little bit with the episode where Leo wasn't there. We talked about like playing Flash games. What's your guys' relationship with
my five favorites?
We gotta get his five.
I'm so
five.
Sorry. I forgot.
Wow.
This entire podcast is gonna be about gaming, and that's 100% fun.
Yeah, I'm totally happy with that. Go ahead. Leo, game to us. How?
So, three of these, I actually wrote these down. Three of these five are sheerly based on my love for them as a kid, and that's about it. So, these are in no order. I can't really put them in an order. But Destiny 1 is...
Destiny 1? Okay.
Destiny 1. I played that on my Xbox right when I got my Xbox One back in 2015. 2015. My friend Nathan had a spare copy of the game. And he was like, hey, listen, it doesn't have any DLCs or anything, but would you like DLC, downloadable content, something like that? Doesn't have any DLCs or anything. Do you still want this? And I go, yes, of course. Why wouldn't I? I get to play with you guys. And that is what sparked my love for Destiny, is there was no thing on it. For Destiny 2, there's like, it tells you when public events are happening. Destiny 1, you had to look it up on Google.
Oh, really?
You had to Google when public events are happening. Me and Nathan would hang out on Mars for about 3 hours, just looking up when the next public event would be and grind those out and just get loot that way, because I couldn't play anything that was with DLCs. And so it would just be us two.
Were they lucrative? Around.
Huh?
Were they lucrative, the public events?
They were different. A lot of them were different. But they're the same ones that Destiny 2 has. But again, this is back in
2000. And those ones have shit loot, so...
Yeah, well, the loot was actually pretty good. I was doing it for the legendary shards, because you used to get decent legendary shards when you do it.
God, if only legendary shards dropped in public events in D2.
I'm so confused. So,
basically, you get a currency that you can't get now when you do public events. That's simple.
I see.
And because I didn't have the deal, I couldn't get legendaries, because of the fact that I didn't have any DLCs. I could only run on
Home Premier.
My power level, it used to be called light level. The max was 400, and I was stuck at 280. I couldn't go any higher without buying a DLC, and I didn't have any money.
Interesting.
So I would just be hanging out, and I would get maybe 5 legendary shards, and it cost me 270 to get my first legendary gun. And I grinded that shit so hard.
What was it?
It was a Vice auto rifle. Just this, like... Vice, which is a weapon company that Destiny 2 does. Destiny 2 is like a whole world. Vice weapon. Back in Destiny 1, those things were so good. It was between that and a Suro scout rifle. Because again, scout rifles used to be absolutely bumping in Destiny 1.
Like, they're shit now.
Oh, no, they're terrible. Alright, so that's why. It's just my sheer love for that game after my friend gave me a spare copy and I pumped in hour after hour as a little kid. Or as a, like a young teen.
Mm-hmm.
Next on my list is Super Mario Galaxy 2.
That one's
a little self-explanatory. Got that one. I remember it was for my birthday. And it was, I actually got to play video games the morning before school. I know, right? Bro, that shit never happened. I woke up early, opened up that present, and I got to go downstairs and play for the first level. And then I had to go to school.
Oh, that's fine.
And I will remember that forever. That, like...
Yeah.
That's and sick. That's why I like 2 more than 1. I know 1 is really, really good, but Super Mario Galaxy 2 is just a classic to me.
That's, I believe, the opposite of the mainstream opinion, because I've heard a lot of people being like, Super Mario Galaxy 1 is godlike, and Super Mario Galaxy 2 is shit.
I've never heard anybody diss Mario Galaxy 2 that hard. I think most of what I've heard is that Mario Galaxy 1 has a lot, like, more open big levels, but people don't like that it's a little bit more disjointed than 2, and 2 is just more streamlined, like, pure platforming, which is hard to decide between. For me, I can't decide between the two because Mario Galaxy is the first game that I ever really got to play. Mm-hmm. That was like the first time that I ever had any video games in my house. Was we got a Wii when I was like 6 or 7, and I had Wii Sports and Mario Galaxy. And I think it all, my family also got Mario Kart. So like between Mario and Mario Kart, I don't really count Wii Sports because, you know, it's Wii Sports.
Yeah.
But like those Mario Kart, Wii, and Mario Galaxy were my first two video games. And those are my first two experiences gaming, so it's really hard for me. Because, like, even though 2, I kind of know, is a little bit of a better game, like, I can't not hand it to 2 for that.
I don't know. I think you can enjoy 2 games equally or similarly enough. There doesn't really have to be a better or worse game for you to enjoy them.
Yeah, it's true, especially since they're, like, sequel. Like, the second one is a sequel to the first one. It's like... They're basically just one long game that expands on the same idea. So it's really hard to decide which one I prefer because they both go over the similar subject matter. They just do it in different ways.
Mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly agree. For my number, not my number, just another one is Hollow Knight.
Number.
That one is kind of self-explanatory. Everyone pretty much I know it. Knows how... Yeah. I will link... in the chat right now. I actually had this ready. This is the trailer to the next one, Silk Song.
I was gonna ask if you were hyped for that, but I'm assuming you are.
Let's just say I have money saved up for that game specifically.
He's at a half chub.
There is no release date yet. They are putting their sweet time into it, and I'm okay with that.
He's got a half chub.
I have got a full chub. I am so, so excited for that one. And
is that your most... Is that the game that you're most excited for 2021?
Yes, I don't know that and the Skywalker Saga. The Lego
I was going to say, yeah.
Well, just because I have plans with Malcolm. Again, we should get Malcolm on the podcast. He would love it.
Let's do it.
I feel like me and Malcolm have plans already to play that together. Me and Malcolm have been friends ever since kindergarten, best friends ever since. Well, I mean, you know, I met plenty of other wonderful humans, but I guess it's just... We just never really separated, which is great. After 13 years.
Yeah. I have the same shit with some people.
My next one is Breath of the Wild. I played this one over quarantine.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to not put that on my list, because that game is so good. There's so many good games.
It's such a good game.
I think it's the fact that it was one of my first Zelda games I actually played. I never really played any other ones. I tried, but I guess I just didn't like the fluid... consistent, like, this is where you go next and you're going to stay on this path.
Yeah, I feel
so
that.
I love the openness of Breath of the Wild. It is a breath of fresh air.
Of the wild air.
Is that 5 or is that 4?
That's 4. My last one, contradictory to both of your opinions, Super Smash Bros. Brawl is...
It's not D2. Interesting.
No, D2, I mean, sure, D2 is spectacular, and I love it very, very much, and I have over 1,000 hours pumped into it.
Jesus.
For the layman at home, D2 is Destiny 2.
Yep. Sorry.
For any non-gamers.
So Destiny 2...
Dude, any non-gamers listening to this podcast are gonna be like, what the fuck, cunt?
I hope they haven't tuned out, because I think it's interesting just to, like, talk about this
Even stuff. If I wasn't a gamer, it's interesting to hear other people be passionate about things.
I pumped so many fucking hours into D2, and I love it to pieces. It's just one of those that, like, it doesn't have that same effect that Destiny 1 has, where a lot of my friends quit Destiny 2 just because, I mean, I will say, the initial release wasn't that great.
I fucking hate that game and also love it in so many ways.
Yeah, it's a love-hate relationship. I'm actually breaking from... Actually, never mind. I rated yesterday. I don't know. Something about Brawl. I remember the morning I beat the final boss. I remember...
All right, because Brawl has, like, a story, doesn't it?
It's got,
Brawl,
like, a, actually, it has a massive, like, a story.
It has a mass... The subspace
inventory. Yeah, there's, like, levels and shit. Yeah.
It's a full...
Yeah, that's a platforming game in it. It's really cool.
Platforming beat-em-up gamer. Platforming beat-em-up game.
Gamer.
It is so cool. And I know it's not the same, like, fluidity and speed as Brawl... Sorry, as Melee or Ultimate. But just the fact that the story is not just fighting people over and over again with, like, charms and stuff. I'm kind of stabbing at the Ultimate campaign a little bit. That one I didn't really
like. No, I have to agree with you. Ultimate's non, like, just, like, playing as each other, like, co-op. Like, it's story mode, spirits, and all that shit. I think it's horrible. I think it's ass. I think World of Light and everything like that is shit.
I think it's okay.
I
finished the first part, and then the darkness part started, and I was like, is there more of this?
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to do more of this.
Yeah, it's the same, and it's, like, not rewarding at all. It's literally, like, just go one boss, one guy, fight one dude, kill him in one hit, go to the next guy, kill him in one hit, get shit loot, new spirits that you never use, and once you get, like, one spirit, it just becomes the same spirit you use for every fight. It's just it's not good.
I mean, Simon, you hit the head on the nail there. It just kind of
fell.
Hit the nail on the head. I am back.
Yeah, dude, hell yeah.
Who needs a hammer? I have a head.
That's some Russian shit. Gopnik blyat.
Yeah, that game, I mean, sure, I love the combat, and I love, for Ultimate, I like all that stuff. I get bored of Brawl. I get bored of Ultimate after about half an hour playing it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I will actually, like, legit, I will play with my brother for a couple games, but then it just becomes, like, the same thing over and over again. I'm like, okay, whatever. But Brawl had that special moment of that campaign. You can actually play it two-player. And so you could have... Me and my brother would play two-player, and we'd be on the same team fighting enemies and other homies and stuff. And that was just... I mean, it was a blast. And the boss fights were awesome. The progression of collecting characters, and then you can choose to play as them. Like, it was awesome. And again, I still remember the five people. You get five lives for the final boss. But for that final boss, if you die with one, you immediately switch to the other one, and you can't play that one. And so I remember my five. I was started with Kirby, went to Snake, was Ice Climbers, Lucas, and was the final one. I think it was Fox. Yeah, Fox. And I finished it with Ice Climbers. I only died with Kirby and Snake.
Yeah,
I'll remember that morning forever.
I remember seeing, like, because I watch a video. I have this, like, weird, not addiction, but, like, I have this weird interest in these videos. You'll probably know what I'm talking about when I explain it. But these videos on YouTube that are basically like, can you beat this game while doing, like, can you beat game without collect, like, can you beat Mario whatever without collecting coins or without jumping or without, you know, like, I like those videos where there's playthrough a game.
I love those.
Way. The one YouTuber that I watch a lot that does in this game, Champ3000, fucking love that channel.
Do you watch Small Ant?
I'm aware of Small Ant, but I don't watch.
He does the same stuff. I really like him.
Yeah.
He does a lot of ones of Breath of the Wild where it's like you cannot open the menus at
all. Yeah, that's Game Champ did a run of that as well. It's pauseless. You can't open the menus with pause in any way, which makes the game like one rune. Like fucking, you can only use weapons that you pick up. It makes the game insane. Anyway, I remember seeing Subspace Emissary in a video and being like, this is like ahead of its time. Like, this is like really well crafted for
it's very
even,
cool.
even without playing it. Yeah,
I have a different relationship with Brawl because around the time when I would normally have been playing it, I was like kind of young. I was in like kind of lower middle grade, like before middle school, definitely. And
really?
Since it was rated teen, it came out in like 2007 or 8 when I was 5-ish. Somewhere around like when I was 5 or 6. So it came up like right with the Wii, I think. So like not on launch, but like a little bit after. But anyways, the point is that I couldn't play it. Like my parents were like, this is rated teen and you are not even 10 years old yet. You cannot play this game. But one of my best friend's brothers would babysit us. And every time that he did, he'd bring over Brawl and be like, oh my God.
It's not even like bloody. Why is that rated teen?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's supposed, the whole point is supposed to be edgy. Like the whole art style is meant to look very edgy. So the ESRB was like teen.
Yeah,
wasn't right. The original Smash also rated teen or something?
So, like know. Smash Bros, the one with the weird ass trailer with the dancing. Smash 64. That one? Yeah, Smash 64. Yeah, I don't know. That was a. What was that? Was that even in the 2000s?
That was 2001.
2001.
Oh wait, no, it wasn't. That was no 2001 was Melee, I think.
Well, here because 2001 because Melee was on the GameCube and Smash 64 was obviously on the Nintendo 64 and Brawl was on the Wii. And then yeah. Smash 4 is on the 3DS.
I'm googling it right now.
Wii U.
Smash Bros. 64.
Smash Bros. 64 release date.
That must was January 21st, 1999.
Yeah, yeah, the 19s. Yeah. Wait, so they did Super Smash Bros. 64 and then released Melee 2 years later.
It was like a year and a half. It was like a 13
year and a half. That's insane. Cycle.
I actually looked up the history of this.
Yeah, Simon, you should watch like a. I don't have all the information because it's been a while, but yeah. I'd really recommend looking into one of the documentaries on behind the scenes of how it was made because, like, Miyamoto would work 10-hour days to like probably. I think it was like he said he worked like 14-hour days on average every day.
What a
like
king.
He worked on every holiday and on every single day. He never took breaks, and he was like legitimately going to go insane until the game came out.
What a king.
Because they were pushing
so much love and effort into it, and Melee was spectacular. I gotta say, I played a little bit of it.
Yeah,
I don't. Think
I can't play Melee or Brawl for two reasons. I can't play Melee because the controls are just so different from Smash 4 and Smash Ultimate that it's impossible for me to play because it just feels so weird. And I can't play Brawl because fuck Meta Knight in that game. He's so broken, and everyone just plays it.
I played Lucas.
Yeah, I'm mostly joking. I barely played Brawl.
Also, I mean, if you ever want, Simon, come over to my place and we can play Brawl together after all this shit's over and we can do the Subspace Emissary.
Yes, I think that would be a good thing to experience for me.
That, I think, was the introduction to Rob.
Yeah.
Rob.
And that was such a... There were so many plot twists in that game. Like, watching... I forgot what the final boss's name was, but he had like these craziest butterfly wings. So he started to spread up.
No, that Galeem is Galeem. Like, it was something.
Oh no, Galeem's like a big robot-looking motherfucker.
What is it? Subspace Emissary Final Boosie. It's Taboo.
Taboo. God, he was so cool. anyway, Taboo is sweet.
So cool.
And, like. He's just this blue dude who looked like he was made out of, like, technology.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what he looks like.
Made out of technology.
Straight up.
Exactly what it looks like. Simon's like confused now.
Wait, let me look this up. What's his name?
Taboo with two U's.
T-A-B-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U.
Let me see this cunt.
U-U-U.
He just looks like, he looks like the logo for, like, a shitty off-brand indie clothing brand.
He has those freaky ass butterfly wings, and all of a sudden holes start to jump through them, and Sonic shows up, and I went fucking ballistic, and then learned that Sonic in Brawl is just kind of shit.
Well, the reason that they added it, the reason that his cutscene is so late in the game is because he got added like very, very last minute. Oh. So they were like, all they could do is they were already finished with Subspace pretty much, and they were like, what the fuck? Where did we add him? And they were just like, in the final boss.
He's a spirit in Smash Ultimate.
Sonic?
No, Taboo.
Sonic?
I'm looking at the best fucking cutscene in all cutscenes ever. That shit was... Oh my god. That's from the... What is it? So Ganondorf and Bowser are like the two bad guys. And god. Anyway, that's enough of me rant, like loving Brawl.
Yeah, dude.
Pog. How long have we been recording?
About an hour. We're getting pretty close up to an hour. Well, honestly, I think that this has been a great podcast, and I'm sorry if you left because you're not a gamer, but...
I see the cutscene. That is the best cutscene.
Simon, after this, I want you to hang out and watch this with me and just love it.
I don't know if you said it. I was just spacing out for a second, but for anybody who... Well, for everybody who's watching at home who's played Subspace, it's the one with Kirby and the ship coming through the portal, and he on E-Star. That cutscene is so beautiful.
I think I've seen that meme of like Kirby like running into like it's like meme, and then it cuts to like the guy kicking the TV with his feet.
It's basically funny. It's the Smash Bros. Brawl version of the lightspeed ramming in The Last Jedi.
Mm. That's true. That's facts.
Except this is way better, it caused nobody controversy. Nobody was like, this doesn't make any sense. Everybody was like, what the fuck, who cares?
Yo, do you know what that made me think of? You know that scene in Rogue One where they have the little tiny ship and it rams into the side of the Star Destroyer and like
pushing
the two together? That scene was so sick. That was really cool.
That was cool with the Hammerhead Corvette.
Yeah, the Hammerhead Corvette, that's what it was. Yeah.
I don't know why I know that name.
Hammerhead so cool. Corvette. that was better than I thought it would be, actually.
That was kind of perfect.
Yeah,
I remember.
What's his name? Fucking
Admiral Ackbar.
Admiral Ackbar.
Ackbar. I remember in Subspace, like the funniest shit was that you never knew who the actual like boss was, because it was like there was Wario, and then Wario was reporting to Bowser, and then Bowser was reporting to Ganon, and then Ganon was reporting to Taboo,
Master
and it was
Hand.
Like. Yeah, Master Hand, and then Master Hand.
Oh, yeah,
Hand
Master Hand.
Master Hand was in and of himself a puppet for Taboo. It's like, where does this end? Is there going to be, like, another guy, and it's going to be, like... is it going to be Sakurai making the game? Is he going to be the final boss?
Sakurai is the true final boss, yeah. That'd be great.
It's, like, pre-rendered cutscene of just Sakurai walking around, and he steps on all of the characters. And he's like, oh, shit, my boy.
It's like a Lego movie when it goes into real life.
Yes. That would have been a great end of the game. Okay, in a few, like, generations... That's how they should end Smash Bros. Once we get to like Nintendo putting out Cyberpunk
levels of
graphics.
Isn't this like the last game? Isn't this like the last Smash game?
Probably.
If it is, I don't care. Like, just keep adding DLC characters.
I don't think Sakurai cares. Like, he's like, I'm done. He doesn't want any more. He hasn't wanted any more since Melee. He was basically done with Melee because of how harsh that development cycle was, and he was like, I don't want to keep making games. And Nintendo was like, Smash Brother.
Yeah, come
Smash
on.
Daddy
Sakurai gotta preserve his mental state.
Yeah, and then he made Brawl, and then he was like, I don't want to make anymore. And then he made Smash 4, and he was like, I am done. And everyone was like,
and then he makes Smash Ultimate, yeah.
Yeah, and then he was like, this one has Ultimate in the name, let me go. And they're like, maybe.
We will see.
Alright, well, that's been about an hour. It's time to wrap this.
Thank you all for listening. That was a lot of fun.
Yes.
I know it's very gaming-based, but you know.
I think it's interesting because it's like a passion that we all share, which we don't have a ton of because we're all pretty different people, but we have like a conjoining passion
for games. Yeah. And we do have a couple games that we all love, which is I think really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that still a topic that we should talk about next time is like what games, like I know we talked about how we grew up with games, but I think just kind of going like back over it and talking about our relationship with it, because I know that especially Simon's is pretty unique.
Mine is really unique, the way that I grew up with, because it was so distinctly restricted.
I think that mine was restricted in a very different way, and I think that it'll make for a funny just kind of like thing to talk about, and it's kind of funny how my relationship with games has ended up based off of how I grew up with them. I want to leave everybody with one message. This is a PSA. The elderly are just babies, but they are no longer soft.
I look forward to that story next time, hopefully.
Yeah, if you want to know what that means, you'll get to know next time.
If we remember, because we're pretty inconsistent cunts.
I'm going to underline and
like
bold.
Like 4 weeks
and
since we've uploaded
this.
A podcast, but it's fine.
All right, that's enough of that.
Everything that I could on that.
All right, I hope everybody enjoyed this very gaming-focused episode of Four Idiots and a Microphone.
Make sure to drink some water.
Drink some water, preserve your mental state just like Daddy Sakurai, and have a good day, everybody.
Yes.
Have a good night.
Goodbye. All right, Craig, will you...
I gotta go eat some spaghetti.
Anyone play Siege?
Sure, I'll play
Yeah, after I eat some spaghetti.
All right, eat your spaghetti, and then we can come back and play some Siege. I think Alex is working until 9, but maybe a little after.
Yeah, he's working until 9, and he said he'd record after 9, but then we were like, now, and then we did it now.